The study is to find out who is fighting with who, and what does the Word say about that? What does the Word say about who's fighting with who? And this is really interesting. I did this in 1984. I did a study on this. So if you were here in 1984, you'll probably be bored tonight. But you shouldn't be. I don't remember the study that good. But over the years, in reading the Bible through year after year, you get to know the characters in the Bible, and you get to know what's happening. Jesus said, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be worried about that. These things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And the scenario that's going on in the Middle East right now is not the end of the world. It's not even near the end of the world. It's not something that's going to bring Russia in and everything else. There are certain things that are going to happen first, according to the Word. But this is a pretty interesting scenario over there. We're moving our troops into Saudi Arabia. That's a first. And Russia has offered to help us. Russia has said to us, say, listen, we'll move our ships in with your ships and we'll back you up. And Russia, for the first time in history, has condemned our enemies along with us. We condemned Iraq, and Russia's condemned Iraq. You think about Russia condemning Iraq, and you look at it, and you think, well, who is condemning who here in light of the Bible? In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, when Russia invades the Middle East, when it finally does invade the Middle East, the people of the world, Sheba and Dedan, they say to Russia, are you going to take a spoil? Are you going to take a prey? Now, that's a very unusual question. I've always wondered, how is that going to work out that we wouldn't be alerted that Russia moved into the Middle East? However, right now, we're the peacekeeping force trying to keep peace over there. And logistically, it's really impossible to supply our troops to do a full-scale war. It's going to be very, very difficult to do a full-scale war against 1 million people if it went a land war over there in the Middle East. However, it wouldn't be very difficult at all for Russia to supply its troops. You see, so I believe, this is my scenario, and this is that scenario, that Russia will move out. I mean, the United States will eventually move out of the situation. It will calm down. And in the future, this is a scenario that could very possibly happen in the future, that Russia will move in to be at peace after we get all buddy-buddy and the world's at peace and everything's going on real peaceably. Remember, it's going to be peace in the world. And Russia will move into the Middle East for the next great turmoil, set its troops in like Saudi Arabia, and then people will start to see this thing, and they'll say, are you coming to take a spoil, see? And they'll move against Israel. Iraq today is against Israel. They're really against Israel. In fact, they're sworn to destroy Israel. Hussein, the head of Iraq, has swore to destroy Israel. He claims to be Arab. He's not an Arab. Okay, we're going to deal with that. He is claiming to have a vengeance against Israel, and he wants to wipe it out. In fact, today, he announced that Israel were dressing up like Americans, and they were disguising their planes with American markings, and they were trying to attack Iraq, secretly attack Iraq, under American guise. They're going to fight alongside of America. He was calling the Arab world to fight against Israel. Now, let's go into Genesis here, chapter 9. The flood has happened in chapter 9. And Noah and his sons went forth from the ark in verse 18 of chapter 9 of Genesis. And they were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah. And of them was the whole earth overspread in verse 19. So the earth was going to be repopulated by these three gentlemen. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both of their shoulders and went backwards and covered their father, and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces went backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Seeing their father's nakedness was a shame to their mother. That's what the Old Testament did. You didn't look upon your father because you were shaming your mother. Noah awoke from his wine, so he was drinking, and knew that what his youngest son had done to him. Maybe he uncovered him. Who knows? There's a lot of theories on that. And he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord of God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. And Canaan shall be his servant." And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and these are the days of Noah, 950 years, and he died. And now these are the generation of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Don't forget, the whole world now is going to be populated by these guys. And unto them were sons born after the flood, after the flood. Now the sons of Japheth are Gomer and Magog. Now we hear of Gomer and Magog in Ezekiel chapter 38. And Madai and Javan and Tubal, we heard of Tubal in Ezekiel 38, and Mersk, and we hear of Mersk in Ezekiel 38, and Tiras. And the sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz and Riphath and Tugomah. And the sons of Javan and Tugomah you hear about in Ezekiel 38. And the sons of Javan was Elisha and Tarshish and Kittim and Dudanim. Maybe you can just go Duda, you know. There's a guy in one of the books called Dudu, so you know it's a real problem. Or Dodo, either way you want to look at it. Now these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands. You hear that? The isles of the Gentiles were divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families and their nations. So we're going to read Sunday night as we study Revelation. We'll read about the kindreds, the tongues, and the nations. Here's where the kindreds, tongues, and nations started, right here. But Japheth is the father of the Gentiles. All the Gentiles on the earth come out of Japheth. Now, who are the Gentiles? Well, Russia, we know that Gog and Magog, and Gomer, we believe, is Germany and the Slavic states. The Europeans are Gentiles. The Americans are Gentiles. We migrated out of there. The Chinese and the Oriental races are Gentile races. They all come out of Japheth. Okay? Now, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided. Now, the sons of Ham are Cush, not Frank, but just Cush, Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan. Okay? Now, the sons of Cush were Seba, and Havilah, and Sabbath, and Raamath. These are hard names for me. Sabitcha, and the sons of Raamath are Sheba and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be mighty in the earth. And he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calnech, and the land of Shinar. And out of the land went forth Asherah, and builded Nineveh, and the city of Rehoboth, and Calah. Okay, and he goes on to talk about these different people. We're going to pick out the important people here. You notice it comes down to verse 15. And we find Canaan again. Now who is Canaan the son of? Canaan is the son of Ham. Ham had Cush and Canaan. So now he covered Cush, and we know that Cush, the son of Ham, had descendants that lived in Babylon. Started the nation of Babel, okay, which became, what's the head of the nation that is fighting with the Middle East right now, with the whole world? Its name is Iraq, right? And Iraq sits on a place called, its capital is Baghdad. And Baghdad is just a stone's throw away from Babel. Babel was built on the Tigris and Euphrates River. Therefore, Iraq is a descendant of Ham. Not of Japheth, of Ham. See, Iraq is a descendant of Ham. Now, Ham are not Arabs. You see, the Arabs are descendants of Shem, and we're going to get into that. Canaan is saying all Arabs unite. Actually, let's read on a little bit further. Canaan, the brother of Cush, who founded Iraq, Canaan has Sidon as his firstborn. Well, Sidon is the Sidonians, descendants of Sidon is the Sidonians. Who are the Sidonians? Lebanon. See, Lebanon is a descendant of Ham also. And then you go a little bit further here, and you read about Heth. Well, I don't know who Heth was, but I know who the Jebusite was. Remember who the Jebusites were? David, fought with the Jebusites, and the Jebusites controlled Jerusalem area. When Moses brought the people of Israel up to the land, he said there were going to be Jebusites, Amorite, see there in verse 16, Girgashite, the Hivite, the Hittite was in there too, that's another group, the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Abadite, and the Semerite, and the Hamonite, and afterwards the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And from the border of the Canaanites, was from Zidon, okay, which is on the map today, but the PLO has a stronghold, okay, and it comes down to Gera, unto Gaza. Now, where's the trouble in the Middle East? Gaza Strip, Lebanon, Iraq. These are the main places of problem in the Middle East. And guess who they are? Iraq is a descendant of Ham, and these people are actually the Canaanites. See, the Palestinians are actually descendants of Canaan, or the Canaanites. So when you look at the Palestinian having upright, they're the same people that were driven out of the land by Moses. These are the people that were cursed of God for their horrible idolatry and their bestiality and all their homosexuality and all the things, the evil sins they were performing. They were burning their kids in fires to the Zidonian goddess, Ashtaroth. It's all there. I mean, if you read the whole Bible, it's the whole picture. So these guys in the Gaza Strip and in Lebanon, and now they're over in also a Palestinian could be easily connected to Iraq. You see, Iraq is a brother to the Palestinians. All the people in Palestine were, actually he's the uncle of them, or brother to to Canaan, who filled the Canaan land. Cush filled the Babylonian land, which is today Iraq. However, when you do some research on this and you get into it, you'll find out that Iran is of the tribe of Japheth. You see, Iran is not, that's why Iran and Iraq were fighting. Iran is not a person of Ham, nor is Iran anybody that would be connected with Cush or Canaan or Shem. Iran is directly, and you can connect it through all the scriptures and chronicles and everything, you can connect Iran to Japheth, Gentiles. They're not Arabs either. You know, these are the people that are fighting over there. So when you see Iraq and Iran go, and you're seeing Japheth and Ham go at each other. Now what did it say here? It said that Ham, or Canaan, the direct descendant of Ham, he was going to dwell in the tents of sin. He was going to be a servant to all men. He was never really going to rise up into power. Well, we're seeing that right now. Who is controlling the Middle East? Israel. Shem. We'll find out that Shem had Israel. So Shem is controlling the Middle East, and Ham, or Canaan, is trying to get out, and Canaan is saying, you get out of the Middle East. And there, right here, God said, or through Noah said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. So that the Philistines, or the Palestinians, are under that dimension. They can't get out from underneath it. When they came back into the land, when God brought Moses into the land, they drove those people out. The land belonged to Shem. God gave it to Shem and the descendants of Shem. And so we know that from Zidon, boy, you just look at the map, you go and watch the news, you got the Lebanese, the Palestinians in the Lebanon, up in Zidon is a stronghold of the Palestinians, and Gaza is a stronghold. It's like reading the paper, reading this little article right here, you're reading this chapter. You know who's fighting the two. It's Ham fighting with Shem. That's what the whole thing is. And later on, Japheth's going to get into this fight. But you know what it said up here? It said that Japheth shall dwell in the tents of Shem. Okay? So Shem is where Israel is. So by the end of the book of Revelation, when you go through this with me on Sunday nights, you're going to see something really different if you keep these things in mind. See, most of the theories about the last days aren't put to some of these direct curses and prophecies. And the things that God said. God said, through Noah, that Shem would control the Gentiles. See? That Shem was going to be a control. When has Shem ever control the Gentiles? But didn't the apostles think that Jesus would control the Gentiles? Control the world? When will you destroy the world, Rome, and make the kingdom, Israel, the center of all kingdoms? And Jesus said that isn't in the book of Acts, chapter 1. Jesus said that time is not to be known to you. I propose that the Antichrist, and we'll get into that, and I'll give you the proofs for it, will be a Jew. And he'll eventually control all Gentilism. He'll control the Gentiles, and he'll control Ham at the same time. Ham will be his servant. Japheth will submit to him, and he'll live under the rule of Shem, eventually. It has to happen. It's never happened. It's never in history happened that Babylon has been ruled by Israel or by a Jew. I don't want to say Israel, but by a Jew. So now we look at Ham. And the sons of Ham, we looked at all those. And from Zidon to Gaza, and Sodom and Gomorrah are in there, it says in verse 19. And these are the sons of Ham, in verse 20, and their families, after their tongues, in their countries and in their nations. Now unto Shem, also the father of all the children of Eba, and the brother of Japheth, the elder, even unto him were children born. And the children of Shem were Elam, and Asherah, and Hathaxad, and Lud. Now that's an easy name, Lud. Lud, get over here. Who would call his kid Lud, you know? And Aram, okay? And the children of Aram were Uz. That's an easy one too. Hul. Guy was not very imaginative. Uz and Hul. And Gether and Nash. And Athaxad begat Salah, and Salah begat Eber. And Eber was born two sons, and unto Eber was born two sons, Eber. And the name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Jokthan. What does that mean, the earth was divided? See, after the days of Noah, I believe that this is when, you know, we have the continental shifts and all this stuff going on. I think it's simply that way. That the things that they think happened millions of years ago didn't happen too long ago. And all these shifts and everything that went on, these great earthquakes and all that, or maybe the flood was residing and the whole thing that's coming up, that this is when the nations were divided. In the very beginning, if you read the beginning of Genesis, it seemed that the river, and the Tigris and Euphrates River, flowed right down into Africa. It says it flowed out of there, and that's up in Iraq. And that flowed down out of Iraq, and it says it flowed down into Ethiopia. How did the Tigris and Euphrates River get across the Persian Gulf and the Red Sea and get down to Ethiopia? Well, the way it got there is I think it was all one compact thing. We started this whole thing. So now, after the flood, we start to see the emergence of the continents, I believe, and Jokthan, or whatever his name was, and we go on there. We just keep going down until we're going to find in the generations of Shem in chapter 11. And you look at chapter 10, verse 32. And these are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generation in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So we have a map here, a very clear map of who's who in the zoo. Look at the earth. Iraq is Ham. Africa is Ham. How do I know Africa is Ham? Well, you turn back to Psalm 78. And just happened to be reading through the Bible. If you had your pen with you, you would have marked this off. And here it is, just as clear as a bell, in verse 51 of Psalm 78. And smote the firstborn in Egypt, in the chief of their strain, in the tabernacles of Ham. Of Ham. So, who are the Egyptians? They're descendants of Ham. Who are the Palestinians? Descendants of Ham. Who are the Iraqis? Descendants of Ham. Okay? Who are the Lebanese? Descendants of Ham. And look at Israel. It's surrounded like this by the descendants of Ham. We got more. And then we know that the Gentiles, all the Gentiles, are descendants of Japheth. And these wars that we're going to see is dealing with the Gentiles. It's dealing with Ham, and it's dealing with Shem, and is dealing with the promises and the curses that God made in Genesis. And most of them were in Genesis. From the very beginning, God said, this will happen to this nation, this will happen to this family. And the fighting between them are just the families. Now, we haven't finished the Middle East yet. Let's go down a little further. Now, the generations of Shem, chapter 11, verse 10. And he read most of these names. And there's a nice name down in verse 22, Serug. Serug lived 30 years and he begot Nahor. Now, Nahor begat, in verse 24, he lived 9 and 20 years, and he begat Terah. And Terah lived 70 years, and he begat Abram, in verse 26. Nabor and Haran, three kids. Now, Nahor. It's Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Remember who Nahor was? That's where you got the people who wanted to get married. You wanted to go get Rachel. You wanted to go get Rebecca. You'd go to Nahor, you know. That's where Jacob went. That's where Isaac got his wife, see? Haran was a guy who died and they named the city after him. Where is that city named after Haran? It's in Syria. Syria. Okay? So that's where, when Abraham, now Abraham's a direct descendant of Shem. Alright? So now we got Shem. Gee, he hasn't had very much Shem. Shem just got this little group of people. The other guys, Japheth is populating the whole world. And Ham's got Africa. And he's got all the Middle East around and all of Canaan land, all where Israel is now. And he's got Iraq and up there, but he didn't have Syria. Syria came out of another group. Okay? But he had Lebanon, had it quite a bit. Tagoma is Turkey. Turkey and is not Arab, and is not Ham. It's not Ham or Shem, because Shem's where the Arabs come. It's a Gentile state. But you wonder why Turkey is in NATO? You look at Turkey and it looks like it's an Arab state, but it's not. It's in NATO. You say, how did Turkey ever get in NATO? What would Turkey be doing? Why isn't Turkey aligned with the Middle East? Because it's a Gentile state. Why is Iran fighting with Iraq? Because Iran's a Gentile state. It's their families, it's their descendants. And it's the lines are super clear on the maps today. It's not clouded. When you look at the map today, you can look at the descendants of these three guys, clearly defined, marked ground. People don't trespass. You know, when Iraq is attacking Shem, that's who they're attacking, by the way. They're attacking Shem. Iraq, Ham isn't attacking Ham. Ham is attacking Shem. The Ham will fight with Shem and Japheth, but it doesn't fight with itself too much. So when you look at it, you go, wait a minute. So you can align these guys real easy. And you notice this guy, a really interesting guy, is King Hussein of Jordan. I love him. This is a guy that goes, yeah, I'm Arab. No, I'm of Ham. No, I'm of Shem. No, I'm of Ham. And he keeps on tripping over himself and, you know, falling down and wondering. He can't give a clear statement, that guy. And it tells you exactly what's going to happen to him and his nation in these days. I mean, the Bible isn't just vague about it. It's very, very clear what's going to happen to Jordan. Do you know what the name of Jordan was? No, I'll tell you later. I'll tell you what the name of Jordan was. Okay. Haran died before his father Terah in verse 28 in the land of the Nativity in Ur, in Chaldeans. Ur was the place. Now, Ur was down by where is Ur? Ur was down by where Kuwait is. It's right where Kuwait was. So Kuwait was Shem territory. Kuwait was Shem territory. We haven't dealt with Shem yet. But Shem territory was right down at that fertile crescent, down at the bottom where the Tigris and Euphrates River meets the Persian Gulf. If you look on your map, I wish I had a map and a pointer. I could point and be real, you know, real smart guy or something. But you'll have to get your own map. But where that comes down and meets is where Kuwait is, you see. Now, Ham has a little piece of that, and it sticks out, but Kuwait has most of it. And that's why Ham wanted it, and there's other reasons why they wanted it. But Ham wants Shem's territory. But Ham can't have Shem's territory, because Ham's going to dwell in the tents of Shem. See, Ham's going to serve Shem. So I don't really worry about the Middle East too much. I look at that, I know exactly what's going to happen. And I don't go, oh, is Iraq going to do this? Or is this? No, it's not going to, because God said. Well, they might have a momentary little incursion or intrusion here or there, insurgent, but nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. This is not the end. Ham has nothing to do with the end. Ham is going to dwell in the tents of Shem. Oh, he's going to be servant to Shem. So we're not done with the Middle East yet. You know. So everybody's going, oh no, is Israel going to fall? Not a chance. And somebody said to me, well, what about if that million man army attacked Israel? I said, what a fool. You know, they would be the most foolish people. Why do you think they don't attack Israel? They got a road right to Israel. They got an eight lane highway that runs from Baghdad to Israel. 8-lane highway right through Jordan from Baghdad to Amman and right to the border of Israel. And why doesn't they just get in there 5 or 2,000 tanks or something and drive down with their million men and see Israel? Because they would get whooped so bad because Ham can never beat Shem. He'll never beat Shem. He might have a momentary thing, but he'll never beat Shem. So here's Shem, Abraham. Now Abraham goes out of the land of Ur, and he goes up to Syria, and he finds a place up there, and he calls it Haran. I'm not going to read all this, but he names the place Haran, and Terah dies there, Terah being his dad, in verse 32 of chapter 11. And the Lord said to Abraham, now get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. So who was living in Syria area there? The kindred of Abraham, Shem. Okay? Different kindred, not the Arabs. That's why Syria stands out so strange in the Middle East. It's not Arabic. It's of Shem, of that group, but it's not the group of, it's not Ham. And it's not, funny group over there, Ham, Turkey, you know. But where's the beef, you know? But Syria is a unique country, which are descendants of Shem, but not through the Arabic line of Abraham, or nor through the other line. It's the Shemites left over. In fact, they said that Abraham was Assyrian. See, in the Bible it says Abraham was Assyrian. Our father Abraham was Assyrian. Because Assyrian are descendants of Shem, but not of any consequence, Shem. So they're kind of a lost tribe, the Syrians. They're kind of direct descendants of Shem, not connected to any blessing. And they sort of vacillate, too. They've in and out of history, they've been vacillating like that. But they always give their nephews or cousins or whatever trouble. Okay, get thee out. I will make a great nation out of thee. So Abraham goes down to where? He goes down to the land of Ham. He goes down to Canaan land, the land of Ham. Shem enters into Canaan land. And God says that Abraham, see this territory? It's yours. Now he already said it was his when he said to Ham, your son Canaan, they're going to be servants to Shem. So when Abraham gets to Canaan land, he said, this is your land. Of course it's his land. God gave it to him when they get off the boat. Then when they get off the boat, it was his land. So when Abraham looked around, he goes, wow, this is my land. This is the land I'm in. Now these Canaanites, they don't agree with this. You know, so God takes Abraham and sticks him in Egypt. Oh, before he gets to Egypt, though, we have some little problems to deal with, okay? Now, but he has a child called Ishmael. Ishmael is a cross with Ham, because the woman was an Egyptian, and she was a child of Ham. And they were going to be desert dwellers. And they know where they dwell? They dwell in Arabia and all that area over there. The true Arabs are the people of Saudi Arabia and that area. That's the Arabians are the direct descendants, and we kind of think that the Canaanites are. You know, everybody thinks the Palestinians are the ones, the Ishmaelites, who are bothering Israel. That's not true. The Palestinians are Ham, and the ones who are always going to be trouble with Israel are the ones who are descendants of Ishmael, who are Saudi Arabia, the Arab Emirates, Yemen, and all those areas over there on that peninsula that sticks out. That is where the Ishmaelites dwell. And right now, you know, Ham is saying, I'm going to knock off the Ishmaelites, which are descendants of Abraham. That isn't going to happen. God's going to take care of Ishmaelites. They're not going to let them get hurt. Scripture gives protection to the Ishmaelites from Ham. Ham's not going to get in trouble, do anything to anybody. He's going to wind up being servant to everybody else in this whole thing. So I look at the world and I think, this guy has to read the Bible. You know, if the guy, the head of Iraq, Hussein, would read the Bible, he'd say, I'm not doing this. And why would I want to do this? I'm going to lose. I mean, it's in here that he's going to lose. And it's already become obvious, hasn't it? He makes a move. All of Joseph says, you're wrong. That's what the Bible says, that Ham is going to be in trouble with Joseph. And then all of Shem say, you're in trouble. And so the whole world, everybody turned against Ham. Of course they did, because God said they would. God said they weren't going to get rule over Shem or Japheth. So now Abraham has gotten this Ishmaelite problem out of the way. And now he has, he brought his nephew with him. Remember his nephew Lot? This is when we got to get to Lot. Lot's a real interesting guy. Lot decides that he'll dwell in Sodom and Gomorrah, the Hamites, you know, who were the nasty ones, who were into all the nasty things, just like all of the Palestine was. Sodom and Gomorrah was terrible, wasn't it? We read about it in the scriptures. But when the people came in, when Shem came back to the land, after 435 years of being there, when Shem came back to the land, the whole land was worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, and God said, wipe them all out. They're all committing bestiality, they're committing adultery, idolatry, fornication, homosexuality, they're offering their children a sacrifice, and they got pornography everywhere. That's what he said to them. If you want to get down literally what he said to them, get rid of them. They were worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, but they were all partners in Sodom and Gomorrah. They were all children of Canaan and the Canaanites. See that? So Lot is messing around with Ham, and he shouldn't be there. So God decides, I've got to wipe these guys out. So he goes down to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah, and he says, Lot, come out of there. So Lot comes out, and his wife gets killed when he leaves, and he has two daughters. And I forget the names offhand, we could look them up. But these two daughters have an incestual relationship with their dad. They get him drunk. And they think they're the last people on earth. You know, this is it. We're the last people. There's been a nuclear war. We're the last people, and they got to repopulate. They got into this thing. So they said, well, how are we going to convince our dad of this delusion? So let's get him drunk. He'll believe us. So they get their old dad drunk, and then they have babies by their dad. What were their babies' names? Anybody remember? The babies' names were Moab, and Ammon, or Ammon. Now, up until 1948, there was a nation called Moab. And it was changed in 1948 to, anybody know? Jordan. Jordan was Moab in 1948. So 1948 became Jordan. What's the capital? It was really a crack up today. Hussein was talking on there going, I don't know. I'm Arab. No, I think I'm Shem. I might be part of Ham. I won't condemn him. Yes, I will. I will condemn him. Well, they shouldn't be in there, but it's all right. And he's trying to walk this line, but he is the most confused man. Shana looked at me and said, he's lying. He's for sure he's lying because he doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know who he belongs to or what tribe he's with or whose camp he's in, the head of Jordan. Jordan is Moab. The capital of Jordan is Ammon. The two children of Lot, nephews of Abraham, part of Shem. Jordan is part of Shem. Isn't that weird? Jordan is part of Shem. Jordan is the direct descendants of Lot's relationship with his daughters. But there's more to Jordan. And there's southern Jordan. That's a little part of Jordan. There's the southern Jordan that's been swallowed up by the northern Jordan. And that's another interesting. Abraham had Isaac. And Isaac had a couple of kids, right? And what were their names? Jacob and Esau. The children. Who were they descendants of? Abraham. Direct descendants of Abraham. Now Jacob was blessed and his name was changed to Israel. He had 12 kids and his kids were called the children of Israel. So we got them nailed down. But they're direct descendants of Shem. And God said, Abraham, through this lineage, through these guys right here. See, that guy is named Jacob. But I'll change his name, and his name will be governed of God. That's what Israel means, governed of God. A prince with God or governed of God. This descendant will be governed of God, and his children will be governed of me until the Messiah comes. I picked these ones out right here, this one right here. Now, Esau, he gets mad at it and they fight. So Jacob goes over to visit with Nahor and picks up his girlfriend. He got Leah and Rachel. And he brings them back. Right? But they were descendants of Shem. They were cousins. In fact, their uncle was Nahor. And they were descendants directly of Shem from down there in that fertile crescent. They had moved up to Haran and over by Damascus, you see. Isn't that interesting? So now you got this Middle East looking pretty clear. But what happened to Jacob's brother, Esau? Esau, who's Esau? You remember who Esau was? Edom. Edom was Esau. So the descendants of Abraham was Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. Isaac's dead. Esau is a nation which is called Edom. And Edom is the southern part of Jordan. They became one. It used to be Moab and Edom. They became one. See, and Edom was down by the Dead Sea. Now, let's check to see what happens to these guys. I think that we could really get this down really simple if we knew what God was going to do with these nations. Wouldn't it be simple just to open the Bible up and say, now what's Jordan going to do? Turn to chapter 11 of Isaiah. It's really, really simple to find it too. It's really fun. What is God going to do with these nations? God's going to make it really, this is just a history lesson in the Bible, but it's fit for today. Chapter 11, God said that he talks about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ in the beginning of the chapter. And that day, the day that there's a rod of Jesse, which is Jesus Christ, shall stand for a sign of the people, in verse 10, and to it, to that sign, the Gentiles seek. The tribes of Joseph will seek after the sign that will be brought from the tribe of Jesse, okay? And Jesse is a direct descendant of Abraham, or Shem, okay? We connect it back. So out of Shem will come the Messiah, and Joseph's going to look for the Messiah, and he's going to embrace the Messiah, but it doesn't mention him. It doesn't mention him here. And it mentions Joseph. So all the Gentiles, who were the Gentiles? They came from Joseph. Remember in chapter 10 of Genesis? They came from... So where did Paul go with the gospel? He went to the Gentiles. Paul took the gospel. Some of the gospel went to Shem. Some of the gospel went to Joseph. And Paul said, yeah, Peter's the apostle to Shem, and I'm the apostle to Joseph. That's how I look at it. It's just that simple. And the Gentile era is going on right now. The gospel is being preached to all the Gentiles. Now, Ham can hear it, but I don't know why Ham isn't directly included in it. Well, Philip went down into Ethiopia. Okay, Philip went to Ethiopia. And that's the Gentiles. I mean, that's Ham, and Ham was reached that way. And it came to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand when the Gentiles, or Joseph, is being talked to by God, that and Jesus is going to the Gentiles. And that day, when that's happening, the Lord shall set his hand the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Paphos, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and the islands of the sea. He was going to get his people from Ham, if you look in there, and from Joseph. Any place the Jews were, and Ham, he mentions the people of Ham and Joseph. And I'm going to get the people of Ham and Joseph. I'm going to take the people of Shem out of Ham and out of Joseph. I've dispersed them into Ham and Joseph the second time. Well, he did that in the Babylonian captivity. Okay? In the 28th generation after he promised to Abraham that the Messiah would come, and through that line right there, Israel, through your boy, your boy Jacob there, well, 28 generations down the road, they were out of Ham, and he didn't want to destroy them, so he dispersed them, and he stuck them in the tents of Joseph and in the tents of Ham, and they were held captive in those tents. And then he called to them, and he said, come on back, and they rebuilt the temple, and they waited for Christ to come another 400 years, and Christ came. And then they crucified Jesus Christ. Shem crucified Jesus Christ. So the tribe of Shem now was dispersed again, the second time. And in 70 AD, Israel was destroyed again, and the tribes were driven, the people of Shem were driven all over the earth again. So when is the second time that they are recovered? It was in 1948. In 1948, they were recovered from the world. That was the second time God took Shem out of Joseph. God took Shem out of Ham, and he recovered them the second time, and he brought them back, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations. So the Gentile, the nations are the Gentiles, and the nations would know, and they shall, he shall assemble, it's a sign to the nations, when he assembles the outcast of Israel to gather together the dispersed of Judah, from the four corners of the earth. The envy of Ephraim, the northern kingdom of Israel, and the adversaries of Judah, the southern kingdom, shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not vex, envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. So it wouldn't be a divided nation anymore when he brought them back. It's going to be a single nation. Verse 14. And they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines towards the west. Philistia was part of Ham. I didn't cover that, but it was in that chapter 10. And the Philistines towards the west, and they shall spoil them of the east together. 1967. Or 1948 too. But 1967 is a really good example of that scripture. They flew at shoulder height above the ground with their jets and attacked the camps of Egypt and the attacks the Philistia, the Egyptians, the Canaanites, in other words, and they attacked also the two nations that were on the east. Who were they? Jordan and Syria. And they flew upon them and destroyed them, okay? And then it says, and they shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab. That's who? Edom and Moab. That's Jordan and Edom, which became Jordan. And the children of Ammon shall obey Israel. That hasn't happened yet, has it? Jordan hasn't submitted. But isn't Jordan that state in the Middle East, when you look at it, it's always trying to stay out of the fight? And Syria saying, we'll kill him, we'll kill him. And Egypt used to say, we'll kill him, we'll kill him. Until we started giving them a lot of money. And when Egypt is now saying, all right, we'll let them be. They made peace with them. But we gave them billions and billions of dollars for that peace, believe me. So, here's the situation in the Middle East. These people are saying they'll kill them. The Ham people, the Palestinians are saying they'll kill them. But what does Jordan always say? Jordan always says, well, he never makes a clear statement because Jordan can't make a clear statement. They're going to wind up in a treaty or in some sort of a submissive role to their uncle, Abraham, or their cousins, the Jews. You see, they're going to be submissive to him. So Jordan is not going to be a threat to Israel. Has Jordan ever posed a threat? You know that Jordan has an open border with Israel? You know, if you want to go over there and we go on a tour, you can go right up to the border of Jordan and Israel. I don't know about today because of all the action, but you can drive right over to Amman and go across the border, check your pass. They don't hassle you over there. They want you to go over and tour their country, you know, see Mount Pisgah and see the place where the Jews are going to flee to during the tribulation period. There's going to be a fleeing there. Petra. And go see that. They want you to see it open. You can't go near Syria. You go up to Syria and there's armed fence, man. I mean, there's nuclear weapons sitting on that fence. And Lebanon, I went over into Lebanon just for a kick when I was there. We went over to the fence and we're not allowed to pick flowers in Israel. You can't pick the pretty, beautiful flowers that they have over there. Remember that? And you go over there and try to pick the flowers. When we got to that little place there and I looked at him. There's Lebanon right over there. And I said, oh, that's Lebanon, you know. So I just slipped through the fence and picked the flower in Lebanon and came back. I said, I didn't pick a flower in Israel. I got the same beautiful poppy, a red poppy, but I took it out of Lebanon. But boy, in Lebanon, there's tanks and armament. You go down towards Egypt, there's all kinds of defenses and everything. Jordan, nothing. Nothing serious. A couple of tanks at the gate, you know. No big deal. Because God said that there's going to be a treaty between them. And it goes on to say they'll utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. They did that. And they made a highway across the Sinai desert. They did that. And then after this all happens, Israel is going to come to Christ. In chapter 12 of Isaiah, you know what it says? And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and he has also become my salvation. How do you say Jehovah is my salvation in Hebrew? Joshua. Joshua. Yahshua. You know what Yahshua interprets into? Jesus. Yahshua. They'll be saying in chapter 12 of Isaiah, it says, after they get Edom and everything there, there'll be a time in Israel that they'll say, Yahshua. Jehovah is my salvation. right there in chapter 12. That has yet to happen, but it will happen. So we know what's going to happen in the Middle East. I mean, it's just obvious. Now, what about Russia then? Well, let's jump into Ezekiel 38 real quick. We'll deal with Joseph, what Joseph's going to do. Russia, when the word of the Lord came unto me, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Mersk and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Tubal is the tribe, Gentile tribe. We met it in chapter 10 of Genesis. It migrated up. We can know exactly where that tribe migrated to. It's in the southern part, right above Iran. There's a place called, a province called Georgia in Russia. In Russia, not in America. Georgia in Russia. And the capital of Georgia is Tbilisi, which comes from the word Tubal. Mersk is interpreted Moscow. We'll go over this more in a couple of weeks in Revelation, because this ties in with Revelation. There are words in this chapter that are taken directly out of the book of Revelation, sentences and phrases that could, and it just can't be anything else but tied in with Revelation. And so I'm going to give you a different slant on that when we come back to it. Anyway, bring Cush down with you. Verse 5. So, come down against Israel. I will bring forth the army and the horses and everybody against Israel. Verse 5. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya. Bring them guys down with you. Bring them with you. And with them all a shield and a helmet. Goma and his bands. To Goma. Bring Turkey with you and Eastern European nations, or Germany, probably, because Goma is Germany. And bring them with you. Be thou prepared and for thyself and all thy company, and be thou a guard unto them. The word guard in the Hebrew is supplier of arms. So the supplier of the arms to these nations that come against Israel is going to be the nation of Russia. And after many days thou shalt be visited, in latter years shall be brought back, and you're going to come down, you see. And Israel will be dwelling safely, and you're going to come down. So the Middle East probably basically solved. The Palestinian problem will find some solution when Russia comes down. But Russia comes down against Israel, and God puts a fury in his face. And God attacks with a fury and destroys Russia in the land of Israel. You've read that. We'll go into it more later on. But look at chapter 39. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Mersk and Tubal, and that's Joseph. I'm against thee, and I will turn thee back and leave a sixth part of thee, and I will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and I will smite the bow out of thy left hand and cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand, and thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Shem. You see? Shem is going to be ruling over Israel, over Joseph here. And I will give them to the ravenous birds, every sort of beast of the field. And I will send, in verse 6, fire upon Magog and upon them that dwell carelessly in the isles. Now, remember the word isles? Where's the word isles from? Genesis chapter 10. Who dwells in the isles? Gentiles. And we said that in Genesis 10. He said, by this, the isles, the nations, the tongues, the kindreds, were occupied by Joseph. Okay, now, if you know, and I haven't got time to go over the details, but listen to this. Is Europe going to be the ten-nation alliance? Sure it's going to be ten-nation. It's got to be there. Roman Empire be restored. It certainly looks like that, prophetically in Bible prophecy. It looks like Rome is going to be restored. And right now we see Europe being in the middle and between the United States and Russia. Now, Europe is Joseph. Russia is Joseph. United States is Joseph. South America is Joseph. North America is Joseph. The Orientals are Joseph. Africa is Ham. Okay? Middle East is Ham and Shem. And some Joseph up on the other side of the Persian Gulf. So here he says, when you retreat with 1/6 of your army left, I'm going to rain fire upon Russia and upon them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Now, let's go over it. It can't be Europe, because Europe is going to be the ten nations. Fire can't rain upon Europe. When Russia attacks Israel, Europe will be sitting there because it's got to be there for that 7 years. It can't be China. Why can't it be China and the Far East? Because in the end of Revelation, It says that China and the kings of the East come against Europe and they meet in the Middle East to do battle. But fire has rained upon Russia and some other Gentile nation. That, and the word isle is actually continent, by the way. So it's either North America or South America who are dwelling carelessly. I think South America is dwelling primitively and North America is dwelling carelessly. And so here's my scenario, brethren. When the Gentiles, God's setting this world up, when the Gentiles come into the Middle East, then the Gentiles say to them, verse 13 of chapter 38, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, which they believe is England, but the researchers believe that, and the young lions thereof, which would be America, North America, therefore shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil, or hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey? Are you down in the Middle East to take a prey or a spoil? They would say the same thing to America right now. And why are we in Saudi Arabia? Are we there to take over the oil fields? Don't you think some of the world is nervous about that? If Russia came into the Middle East on the pretense of making peace, Japheth moves in to make peace between Ham and Shem. Japheth comes in. Japheth's in there right now in our stead. We're there. We're Japheth. And so when Japheth comes down again, some of Japheth is going to say to Japheth, are you here to take a spoil? My theory is, and not other guys' theory is, that that's America saying to Russia and, you know, the United Nations, they all sit down and, what are you doing in the Middle East? You peacekeeping or you're trying to take the oil? You're trying to take something? Russia has all its forces in there. Multinational forces that we see in there right now could just as well be Russia and Germany and people like that in the Middle East to keep peace. And they could logistically take care of it much easier than we can. They could stand between Ham and Shem real easy because that's who's facing off. It's Ham and Shem right now. And Japheth could be in there, two brothers fighting, and the other brother says, wait a minute. And this one of the, you know, part of the other brother says, what are you doing down there? You're going to take the spoil. Well, Russia gets defeated, and Russia retreats, and fire rains upon the Gentile nations. It rains upon Russia, and who else would it rain upon but America? That's my scenario. That when Russia retreats, that we nuke Russia, Russia nukes us. And the fire flies out of the sky. And you read about that fire. And I'll show you when we get to that in Revelation. There's a really interesting verse in Peter about that fire. Peter wrote about that fire. He said, fire is reserved until the day of judgment. But at the same time, he said, when this happens, there'll be a catching away of the church. The Lord will come as a thief in the night. There should be a loud noise. This fire will be released. The earth will melt with fervent heat. Brethren, you can tie that in. That description in the book of 2 Peter is the best description of a nuclear war in the Bible. There's been nuclear physicists that sat down and said, fission, you know, elements melting with a fervent heat happens. Fission makes fervent heat, which causes fusion. In order to have a thermonuclear explosion, you have to have fission, fusion, fission. The way thermonuclear weapons work is you have one weapon here and you have another weapon here. And the way it works, this weapon is an atomic bomb. This weapon explodes. And it implodes, actually. It doesn't explode. It implodes and causes fission. Okay? This used to be top secret stuff, but now you can go to libraries and find this out. You can get it in a comic book. In between that is a little divider built in a thermonuclear weapon. And over here you have a big tube, which is made of